Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with my co-host, Mike.
Hey, everyone, and I have to say, happy anniversary to us, Sarah. Today is episode 400.
400 episodes. That is wild. Thank you to everyone who has been listening and building this community with us. Today, we are covering the top stories from yesterday, Monday, May 18th, 2026, and we have a fantastic lineup for you. We are looking at the conclusion of Elon Musk's lawsuit against OpenAI, a really cool open source alternative to Obsidian called Files.md, some ongoing drama between Y Combinator CEO Gary Tan and journalist Radley Balko, a brilliant technical hack to stop AI bot spam on GitHub, and finally, Anthropic acquiring the API tooling startup Stainless.
It is a classic Hacker News mix today. Lawsuits, local-first software, tech politics, clever Git hacks, and AI acquisitions. Let us jump right into the big news. Elon Musk has officially lost his lawsuit against Sam Altman and OpenAI. The TechCrunch article was sitting at the top of the site yesterday with over 850 points.
So for those who have not been following every twist and turn of this saga, Musk accused Altman, Greg Brockman, OpenAI, and Microsoft of basically stealing a charity. He argued that they breached their foundational agreement by creating a for-profit affiliate. But the jury unanimously ruled against Musk, and the interesting part is why they ruled against him. It wasn't necessarily a moral judgment on the history of OpenAI, but a procedural one.
Exactly. A commenter named Granzymes gave a really great legal breakdown of this on the thread. The jury basically found that Musk waited too long to bring his claims. They agreed with OpenAI's statute of limitations defense, meaning any harm Musk claimed to have suffered happened way before the 2021 to 2022 deadlines for filing this specific type of lawsuit. The judge even said she was prepared to dismiss the case on the spot because the evidence supported the jury's findings so clearly.
Right, and the comments really dug into the history here. A lot of people pointed out that back in 2017 and 2018, Musk was actually trying to fold OpenAI into Tesla to compete with Google. When that didn't happen, he left. Commenters were pulling up old emails from the discovery phase where Musk himself said a nonprofit structure was likely a mistake. So the narrative that he was this pure defender of the charitable trust felt a bit hollow to the Hacker News crowd.
Yeah. One user noted that Musk never actually created a formal charitable trust with his donations anyway, which is a legal precondition for the claims he was making. His funds were just general donations. It really feels like he sought on this until ChatGPT became a massive success, realized he missed out on the biggest tech wave of the decade, and then launched xAI and this lawsuit in response.
Musk tweeted that he plans to appeal, claiming the verdict just proves they stole it, but only disagreed on when they did it. But as the lawyers in the comments pointed out, appealing a jury's factual finding on a statute of limitations is incredibly difficult. Appellate courts rarely overturn a jury on questions of fact. So this specific legal threat to OpenAI's upcoming IPO seems to be totally off the table now.
Moving from big tech drama to indie developer tools, our next story is a show HN that got almost 600 points. It is called Files.md, and it is an open source alternative to Obsidian.
I love projects like this. The creator, Zakirilin, built a simple, local-first web application for your Markdown files. It works offline, you do not need to install anything because it runs in the browser, and your files never leave your device unless you want them to. It is designed to be extremely simple, just a single Go binary if you want to run a server, or you can just use iCloud or Google Drive to sync your folders.
What sparked a massive debate in the comments was the phrase, open source alternative to Obsidian. A lot of users had this realization, wait, Obsidian is not open source? And it is true. Obsidian is free for personal use, and the data is open because it is just local Markdown files. But the core application itself is proprietary closed source software.
Which is a fascinating model. Someone in the comments called it the inverse of open core. Maybe we should call it an open shell model. Your data is completely free and portable, and the plugin ecosystem is open, but the engine rendering it is a closed Electron app. A lot of commenters were totally fine with this, because the lock-in is zero. You can take your Markdown files and walk away tomorrow.
But the creator of Files.md made a really good point about why true open source matters right now. We are in the AI era. If the codebase is open and simple enough, you can just hand it to an LLM and say, tweak this to fit my exact workflow, add this feature, change this hotkey behavior. You cannot do that easily with a closed source app, even with a good plugin API.
The author also had this wonderful philosophy in their README about the second brain trend. They talked about how people spend so much time building complex templates and AI workflows to organize their notes that they forget to actually use their first brain to think. They said, "Reading without action is just entertainment, a form of procrastination." I think that really resonated with the Hacker News crowd, who often suffer from productivity tool fatigue.
I am definitely guilty of spending more time organizing my to-do list than doing the things on it. But speaking of complex systems and fatigue, let's talk about the third story. This one was a bit contentious. It is a Substack post by journalist Radley Balko, titled "Gary Tan, the CEO of YC, accused me of unethical reporting."
This story dives into the intersection of tech wealth, local San Francisco politics, and journalism. Gary Tan has been very vocal and financially supportive of moderate political movements in San Francisco, including the recall of the former progressive district attorney, Chesa Boudin. Radley Balko, who is a well-known criminal justice reporter, wrote a piece analyzing Boudin's tenure, and Tan publicly accused Balko of misrepresenting the facts.
The Hacker News discussion on this was surprisingly nuanced. A user named T.P. Tasek, who is a well-known voice on the site, had a great comment that seemed to capture the mood. He pointed out that both sides are basically talking past each other to score points for their respective camps. Balko is a staunch advocate for progressive prosecutors, and Tan is heavily invested in removing them.
What was really interesting was how the community reflected on the broader progressive prosecutor movement over the last decade. Several commenters shared their own political journeys. They started out fully supporting criminal justice reform in cities like San Francisco, New York, and Chicago, but eventually grew frustrated, not necessarily with the ideology, but with basic competency issues and how these offices were run.
Right. The discussion highlighted how incredibly difficult it is to solve systemic issues like mental health and addiction through the criminal justice system alone. You cannot arrest your way out of mental illness, as one commenter put it. But at the same time, citizens are frustrated by the immediate safety and quality of life issues on the streets. It is a messy, complicated reality, and the consensus seemed to be that anyone claiming to have a simple, straightforward solution to this is probably wrong.
It is a tough conversation, but it is one that the tech community in San Francisco is increasingly putting itself right in the middle of. Let us shift gears to something highly technical and very clever. Our fourth story is a blog post from Orchestra.ai titled, "We Stopped AI Bot Spam in Our GitHub Repo Using Git's --author flag."
This is such a 2026 problem. Orchestra posted an issue on their open source repo with a $900 bounty attached. Almost immediately, it was swarmed by AI bots. The issue racked up over 250 comments of pure AI-generated slop. Fake implementation plans, hallucinations, and even aggressive responses to the human maintainers. It got so bad that real contributors were completely buried in the noise.
It is the dark side of AI coding tools. People are just hooking up LLMs to GitHub to auto-generate pull requests and comments in hopes of scraping bounties. The Orchestra team was spending half a day every week just cleaning up the garbage, so they took the nuclear option. They changed their GitHub repository settings to limit interactions to prior contributors only.
But here's the catch. If you lock out everyone who hasn't contributed before, how do you onboard legitimate new developers who want to help? GitHub does not have a simple whitelist feature for this, so the team came up with an amazing workaround using the mechanics of Git itself.
Yes, I love this hack. In Git, the person who writes the code, the author, and the person who commits the code to the repository, the committer, can be two different people. So Orchestra set up a system where a new contributor goes to their website, fills out a capture, and agrees to some rules. Then an automated script runs on the Orchestra side. It creates a dummy commit adding the user's name to a text file, but it uses the Git author flag to attribute that commit to the new user's GitHub email address.
Orchestra pushes that commit to the main branch. GitHub sees that this new user is technically the author of a commit on the main branch, instantly granting them prior contributor status. Boom, they bypass the lock and can now comment and open pull requests.
It is brilliant, but it is also a bit sad that maintainers have to resort to these esoteric workarounds. The comments were full of frustrated open source maintainers dealing with the exact same issue. A lot of anger was directed at GitHub for not providing better moderation tools. As one user pointed out, GitHub is owned by Microsoft, who is heavily invested in selling AI coding tools, so their incentives to block AI-generated code are a bit misaligned.
There was also a good debate about the security implications of this hack. By making someone a prior contributor, you are also bypassing the requirement for maintainers to approve their GitHub actions runs. If a malicious actor gets whitelisted, they could potentially run malicious code in the repo's continuous integration environment. So it is a clever fix, but it definitely comes with trade-offs.
Which brings us to our final story of the day, and it is a big one for the AI space. Anthropic, the company behind Claude, has acquired a startup called Stainless. This was sitting at nearly 400 points on Hacker News.
Stainless is a company that builds SDKs, which are software development kits, and MCP servers. MCP stands for Model Context Protocol, which is the standard Anthropic introduced to help AI models connect securely to external data sources and tools. If you have ever used an official API library for a modern tech company, there's a good chance Stainless auto-generated it.
The founder of Stainless actually popped into the Hacker News comments. He mentioned that he named the company Stainless after stainless steel pipes because they viewed themselves as a high-end plumbing supply shop for the internet. They do the boring, unsexy work of making APIs easy to use across a dozen different programming languages.
And that boring work is exactly what Anthropic needs right now. As the article points out, the frontier of AI is shifting from models that just answer questions in a chat box to agents that actually take actions on your behalf. But an AI agent is only as capable as the systems it can reach. By acquiring Stainless, Anthropic is bringing that plumbing expertise in-house to make Claude much better at connecting to enterprise data and executing complex workflows.
The discussion on Hacker News took a really interesting philosophical turn, though. People were pointing out the irony that Anthropic is paying massive salaries to acquire the world's best software engineers in order to build tools that are ostensibly designed to replace software engineers.
Yeah, someone linked to a recent story about an AI developer who racked up a $1.3 million token bill in a single month using AI agents to code. It led to a big debate about the Jevons paradox. The idea is that as you make something cheaper and more efficient, in this case writing code, the overall demand for it actually increases rather than decreases.
Exactly. If AI can write the boiler plumbing, developers will not just pack up and go home. They will build vastly more complex systems. The consensus in the comments seemed to be that AI is not replacing elite engineers anytime soon. It is just giving them a massive lever. But it might make things very difficult for junior developers trying to get a foot in the door if the AI is doing all the entry-level work.
It is a transition period for the whole industry, and acquisitions like this show that the big AI lobs are hyper-focused on the developer experience and agentic capabilities right now.
Well, that is all we have time for today. Five fascinating stories covering the legal, technical, and cultural shifts happening in tech right now.
Thank you for joining us for episode 400. We really appreciate you spending part of your day with us.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep building and keep thinking.